Yes, guys, welcome back to FPL Juice, your place to come for the latest squeeze of all the juicy bits from your favourite game, and as Fantasy Premier League. My name's Ash, this sausage Nigel's called Nick, and coming up on the show, we tell the story of our Game Week 8 teams and our plans for Game Week 9, both in under a minute. I've got four players to turn the heat up on as we rank them on the thermometer. We drop the latest standings in the best prize mini league in the world. It is, of course, the Juice Legends League, sponsored by Signed Football Shirts. We then offer our thoughts on another juicy confession or two in the fess hole. And we talk about if Arne Slot has lost the plot, as well as your most unpopular FPL opinions in another Tuesday social. We'll say hello to the chat very, very shortly. But before all that, let's get straight into some teams. Wagwan, Nick.
I was wondering how long I could go before I spoke.
Huh? You're good though, yeah?
I'm all good. All right. Glad to be back.
We're going to go straight in with your 1 minute review of your team.
Beautiful.
In game week 8. So I hope you're ready for this.
I was born ready.
You're born ready?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me. Go.
Haaland captaincy. Went a bit vanilla this week, but it seemed mad not to.
Mm.
Voltamada, you know, my man. I've had him since as long as I can remember. What a finish, by the way. Love that.
Oh, class.
Little cheeky
class
one.
Class finish.
Gyökeres. I don't know. I'm stuck with him for the minute. He's not worth a transfer out, but
he's not doing the business.
He's doing well, but not in an FPL sense. Like, he's part of the team. He's doing all right. Like, he's making things happen around him. But less of that. Semenyo, yeah, listen, was it, wasn't, I don't, genuinely, to be fair, I don't think it was an assist, so I don't think.
I've not even seen it.
Yeah, it was like a rebound off his back, inadvertent, okay. Lot of controversy about it, but I can see why it wasn't given. I had Munoz, which was a big plus.
Mm.
Timber, Arsenal, clean sheet, of course, they'd never concede a goal. They don't even concede shots, mate, let alone goals. But Munoz combining with Mateta, obviously a couple of times, don't have Mateta, but have Munoz, so that was a bit of a shield for me. And Saka, just getting those DEFCONs.
DEFCON Central.
Oh, I love a DEFCON.
Munoz is such a... I'm so annoyed at myself for taking Munoz out, man. I'm so dumb. Because he's so good. He gets forward so often. Did he get two assists in this game?
He got two assists.
Two assists. Yeah,
and he scored last. Yeah, so it's just like... He's just that player.
Mm.
He's fantastic. It took a little while to show.
Mm.
But I've had... To be fair, he is a player I have had in since the very start. Because he finished last season so well for me.
Yeah.
And...
Dubravka had 9 points on the bench as well. If you'd have got that goalie decision right, it could have been even better for you.
And Electric Steve, he's there as well on the bench.
And like E. Steve.
So, yeah, not ideal.
All right. This is your bus for game week 9.
This is my bus team. So, first thing to point out is there's a bench boost, potentially. Wolves, rock bottom of the table. Burnley are going now. I know Burnley aren't as good away as they are at home. However... Burnley triple up on the bench boost is not going to be much better. They've got Fulham at home in a few weeks' time, but I think Wolves, while they're struggling so much, could be the play. So I'm thinking about bench boosting. Captaincy on Semenyo, differential. However, Sean Dyche has now decided he's going to Forest. So I do think there's going to be a bit of a bounce back. So I might have to consider that.
Flat back 4-4-2.
Oh, it's going to be tricky. I've got my Arsenal and my Palace assets playing each other, which is a bit of a tricky one. I don't think Saar will do anything this week. I think that could be a tight game where maybe Arsenal nick a 1-0. But I think I'm just prepared to go with it. I'm hopeful Pope should get a clean sheet at home. I think Grealish could do really well against Tottenham as well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after a couple of weeks rest. It just depends which Forest turn up.
Nice. If you're going to bench boost with three Burnley on the bench, you're only going to do it against Wolves. At the moment. Like, if you were to pick a team to do it against, I don't think they've won all season, have they? So
And the return, the yield,
if you
like, for a bench boost,
all right, Dion Dublin, like Holmes under the hammer,
is relatively low, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like it makes much sense to transfer in players just for a bench boost. Like, I quite like the setup I've got. With a 4 million goalie and a 4 million defender for a half decent team in Burnley. Like, I might change Antony as time goes on, especially if I do get rid of Gyökeres for someone else. I could free up loads of money because I'd go 3-5-2. I think Voltamada and Haaland is a great top two. I'm not wedded to having three up front. So if I did go for a cheap, even a cheaper striker, like it could be lovely.
Don't talk about the one I think you want to move to because he might be popping up in the thermo meter soon.
But then I could make, you know, Anthony, I could get another, not premium, but certainly, you know, 8-9 million player potentially.
But there's a bit of a shortage of high performing mids at the moment.
I know.
Around for some good midfielders.
Yeah, that sort of Foden, Saka level players.
I'm surprised Foden hasn't kicked on.
Well, everyone's saying he's been really good in terms of what he's doing in that team. He's playing a bit deeper, getting heavily involved, but he's just not creating those assists or goals that we've associated, well, probably two seasons ago now when he did very well.
Got Cherky coming back soon as well, mate.
Well, he came on, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked good.
And he did look good. Nice little through ball that Haaland nearly finished.
Yeah.
So he's not. I just don't. Man City mids is mad to me, to be honest.
Mm.
All right. Anyway.
This is my game week 8. So I will start the clock now. 78 points. I had a good week. A really good week. Rare with the clean sheet, 6 points. Dubravka on my bench for 9 was the better option, obviously, in hindsight. But what can you do? I am missing out on not having double Arsenal defence. I'm looking to maybe rectify that in game week 9. Chalabag, who I brought in for Tino Livramento. You know, I've got to have my boy Chalabag.
Yes.
Gets a clean sheet. A lucky clean sheet, admittedly. O'Reilly, I said last week, he's going to have a good week. Smashed it with an assist for Haaland, 11 points. Beautiful. Virgil's probably going to be my player that I drop out for, like a Calafiori potentially.
Liverpool struggling
badly. Gordon, quiet. Semenyo, I don't mind the 4 points, that's cool. And Bermo, you did say last week, I was like, it's going to be a tough game. You were like, you never know. Quick start goal, lovely, 9 points, beautiful.
Also just played well.
Like yourself, Haaland, Walter Mardo, you copied me, and Jokeres, who is looking to be dropped very soon. Yeah, O'Reilly, is he being slept on or what? I'm telling you now, I've got a gem of a pick there.
He's done very well. I just wouldn't take the risk with the rotation of Man City players. But I think...
But whilst Aignori's out...
Yeah, but not only that, in fairness, I think just the fact... Already in the few weeks you've had him, that was kind of, it's paid off already. Anything else that happens now, it's fine. I still wouldn't bring him in. But I don't think, he's going to be an issue for you.
Oh, mate. I'm really happy with that. I think I'm only probably 2 or 3 transfers away from having my perfect team at the moment.
Isn't that always the way though? Because things will change. Someone will get injured. Someone will get rotated.
So here's me for game week 9. Gonna stick with Raya in goal. Oh, I don't know, you know. Dubravka away at Wolves. I've got a decision to make. Guys, Raya or Dubravka in goal for this game week? Who should I go with? Chalabert, home Sunderland, cool. O'Reilly away to Villa, cool. Virgil away at Brentford. That's what I think it kind of picks itself if Romero's injured.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Romero getting into that back 3, really. Rodon might even be a shout. I've got some decisions to make.
West Ham at home. West Ham have been winnable.
Rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
Grealish I'm happy with, and Mbeumo I'm happy with. Gordon, he probably got another couple of weeks before I move him on because the fixtures are quite good. Semenyo, I don't think I can drop him. Jokeres, he has the potential to move to a certain Crystal Palace striker maybe very soon.
Oh, Nketiah, okay.
Yeah, could be Nketiah. You did score a brilliant goal against Liverpool, do you know what I mean? Haaland's probably on the captain. It's quite boring, but I mean, he's in imperious form, isn't he? So what can you do? Yeah, that's me.
So you want to say hello to the chat?
Let's say hello to the chat. What's going on, everybody, in the chat? Who we got? Reedy says, evening all. How's it going, Reedy? Nice to see you. Claire says, evening all. James in the chat. So you've been stirring up some stuff on X once again, mate. Well done. Has anybody started doing Tai Chi recently? Says Colm. Nick? Tai Chi? No.
Can't say I have.
No. Yasser Mastari, Nick getting 71 points is a huge accomplishment.
My God.
Agree. 82 points in game week 8 and just 4 points behind Ash now I am, says Claire. Got to keep up, Claire. Come on, keep up. Onions is here, only here for Nick's team, he says. So shout out. Jump off now. Immortal Trekneek says, evening peeps.
I should say, Reedy, we put Fulham at home in a few weeks, eh, Nick? Great knowledge. I think it's because he wrote it, replied it on Twitter to me. So, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Thank you. I'm always here. Listen, I'm here to learn. It's a learning experience. I'm not here for the knowledge. We know that.
RL says, good evening all. Nice game week for you there, Nick. Excellent move to get Walter Mardar in. literally copied me, RL. Like, I think give me all the credit, please.
People will know what happened is, if we're being real, I brought him up on Thermometer, bigged him up. You brought him in,
and you then when I had, and I said he was, a spicy
and
team.
And then when I had the structure to bring him in, then I also brought him in.
No, you man all said Whistle was a better pick, and I said I'm not too sure about
no.
that.
You said he's not gone there. You said he's not gone there to be a squad
second fiddle.
Player.
Yeah.
I said Baltimore. I said he will play.
No, I said
Baltimore
will
play.
You said
I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole.
No, I didn't.
And then just when you heard
you're
Whistle,
such a liar,
like,
bro.
Oh,
wow.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Right, I'm digging up that episode and I'm going to pull up the clips. I'm going to do. Have you seen that HMRC of football podcast guy yet?
No.
Oh, he's brilliant. So he's got a channel where he pulls up. You know, footballers are always on podcasts now.
Yeah.
He pulls them up on some of the stories they're saying and then like gets the receipts.
I think I might have seen him there. I saw one, an Arsenal one, where he was talking about, what's his name?
Was it the Lee Clark one?
Jay Bothroyd.
All right, yeah.
It was Jay Bothroyd. And he was talking about how well he was and how like Wenger pulled him in like hot out and then like one of the other Arsenal players was like, you were the best player on the pitch. And then when he looked at him, he was like, you went in with the club at the same time. How would he have said that? So yeah, I think maybe that is who I saw.
I love it. It's so good.
It's petty. I like it.
Oh, it's fantastic. Keep your receipts, didn't you? All right, let's do a bit of Thermometer.
First up, Wanikwan. Hey, guys. Just subbed and liked from Malaysia. Good show. Yokeres, Thiago. Yeah, Thiago scored again, of course. And Anthony to Mbeumo. Nice. Yeah, that's a good shout, mate. I like that. I don't know if I'll get rid of Jadon Anthony just yet, but Mbeumo does look good. Also, Cunha. Cunha looked better than Mbeumo in that game to me, but Mbeumo obviously come out with the points, so it's a tricky one. But I think Cunha's looking very, very good now, but slightly deeper potentially. So yeah, but thank you for the sub. Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much. When Ash says bring up the clip, you know someone's in trouble. Yeah, he's banging trouble and he knows it. All right, this is a Thermometer. This is where we look at some of the most transferred in or differential picks. I've got four for you guys. These are players who've performed very, 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 very well in the last game week. I'm going to rank them in order of spiciness. There's the scale right there. At the top, you've got Volcanic Ash. Right the way down to Lowit. You guys can get involved in the chat with your ratings on these players at home. First up, I've got, boom, says Daniel Banks. It is Jean-Philippe Mateta. He is in the room. JP. Gets a hat trick against Everton. Should have been four. What a performance he put in. And is that...
Highest XG of all time.
Is that...
In a single Premier League match.
Is that eight for the season he's got now?
No.
Or is that five?
That's five.
Well, there's not been... Oh, yeah, there we go.
He scored
five,
two.
Because
that's what
some
people were talking about selling him a couple of weeks ago because he'd only scored two goals in the first, like, six or whatever.
Yeah. Five for the season. So he scored the hat-trick against Bournemouth. He's got a goal against West Ham away and an away goal against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Key player for the side. On penalties. Main man. High in confidence. Fixtures after Arsenal, which is next, look pretty good. Brentford, Brighton, Wolves, Man United. Nick, where he at?
Well, it's annoyed me that people have gone early on him and he's already had a price rise this week. Yes, he scored a hat trick. So I know a lot of the kids with their shiny FIFA cards and their 6-7s and all that.
Probably, you know what it is now, yeah.
No, I still don't know what it... I don't really know what it means, but I just
see
all these kids doing it. Mm. But these are the sort of people that go, Mateta does hat trick.
Mateta,
Dave,
good.
Dave, bring in Mateta. And then he puts him in his team. So fair enough, he's done that. Whatever. You've made him go up 1-1. It's a bit of annoying. Price swing. However.
Dave, bring Mateta in.
Yeah. Dave, do it. Dave, get points.
Mateta,
more
good.
Hat-trick Arsenal. That me good. Point team. FPL. Mini league. Yeah. Cash. Cash league. Now, I do think he is... He is an excellent player. He's been great for like as long as we can remember now. The annoying thing is it is up against the toughest defence in the league away in the very next game. For me to bring him in, I would have to drop Gyökeres, who's obviously in the same fixture. So that for me feels very sideways. However, after Arsenal, for sure, like, it's a real consideration to bring him in. There are other options, but if you are going to play with a front three, at the minute, it does feel like Voltimada, Haaland, and Mateta is... what's the word? What'd you say? What's the word?
Optimal.
Optimal. That's exactly the word I was thinking of. You know, like, people like to say that word.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that potentially could be a move I make. However, no way am I bringing him in to play against Arsenal this week. So, if you ask me right now, for this 1 week, calm.
What about over the next five?
Next five? I think he's Volcanic Ash.
Volcanic Ash.
I think the problem is, in the nicest possible way, he has just had one really good game week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but he's been scoring an international
against
break.
Liverpool, like, he hit the bar against Liverpool, taking shots from outside the box. Like, his confidence level's through the roof. Like, he's got his first call up to France squad, scored in that match in the international on his debut. Like, do you know, he's riding a wave at the moment.
Do you know what it is with the other strikers? So, in terms of what the other options you've got, obviously Haaland, we know about. João Pedro, who knows, Chelsea, in and that. Thiago, great, but Brentford aren't doing as well as a team as Crystal Palace have done now
for
a long time.
Third highest scoring striker.
Bowen, really tempting, but he's a little bit more money. And West Ham, you just never know. West Ham have been so poor.
Dead food.
Ekitike, great, but doesn't play.
Rotation, yep.
Richarlison, bit injured. Again, don't know if he's going to play with Kylo Omani getting fit as well. Then you've got, this is just in order of points, by the way. Then Voltimada, who's only down there because he's new signing.
Hasn't
played as much. And then you're into like Welbeck, Isidore, Wood, Sesko, Evan Nilsson. So it's not even a conversation. But for me, for that price point, he's the obvious choice. It's just whether you want to have, because I feel like Voltimada's such good value. It's just whether you want to play two of those three or get them all in and sacrifice a midfield spot.
All right. Colm says, calm. Game week 9, Volcanic Ash. Discomfort says, got to go Volcanic Ash. After all, been told there's no one better than Jean-Philippe Mateta. Onion says, why is Volcanic Ash... What'd you say? Why is Volcanic Ash spicy? Hashtag spice dust. Because it's come from a volcano, bro. You know that ash is hot. Like lava hot. Know what I mean? Also, it's a play on our names. I mean, that's clever. That's marketing.
That is marketing. In case you wonder what marketing was. That's marketing.
Maggot says, calm. Cool. All right, let's go on to the next player. Yes, Mr. Brian Bermo, who is in my team, and I've had him there for a few weeks or so. Focal tweeted about him the other day, saying, is he going to go under the radar? Because he's got one of the highest non-penalty XGs in the league at the moment. I told you, he's getting shots off.
He's had that
on
for a
regular
while.
Basis.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not resulted in a lot of goals so far this season. He's only got the two goals and one assist, with one of those goals being in that game against Liverpool this week. The next load of fixtures are Brighton at home, Forest away, Spurs away, Everton at home, Palace away. Nice run of fixtures. Man, you finally put back-to-back wins on the board. Perhaps some momentum behind them. Perhaps an actual team forming now. And they'll be high after the win. Let's against see. Them major rivals, Liverpool. So at 8 mil, 14.1% owned. Good pick. Where'd you rank him?
I really like him as a player. I think he's fantastic. Has been, obviously, at Brentford, just the talisman of that team. It is Man United. I need to see a bit more.
You
like,
hate Man U at the moment.
Well, I don't hate them.
You
I hate
do.
Them. They're
you
not.
Think they're terrible.
I hate. Yeah, as in, like, I think they're poor. I don't hate the team, because that is how far they've fallen. Is where you don't even hate them anymore. Like,
you
years ago, it was
them,
like, I hate them. You know, like, they always seem to, like, you know, like Liverpool scoring the last minute and blah blah blah. Now, like, it's a testament to how bad it's gone that they're kind of irrelevant in terms of, like, any sort of rivalry with most of the big teams now. That said, they did look a lot better on, but we've seen it before. They've had the odd game where they will do really well. They look good against Arsenal on the first day of the season.
They look better against the better team.
And put up a real fight, and then they just fall apart. Like, two games out with no sort of rhyme or reason. So, and again, like on their European run, like, I know they were playing a lot of, you know, Hungarian teams along the way to get to that final, but they were playing teams and putting off decent performances to get there. But then they go back in the Premier League and just get beaten like, you know, 3-0 down at half time to Brentford and stuff like that. So I do find it hard. I need to see a lot more before I fully trust Man United players. Certainly I wouldn't double up. But if you fancy a punt and Bumo is looking good, that said, I think Cunha looked great as well.
Yeah.
And it's just a bit of a toss up. But it feels like Mbeumo is probably the more, like, Cunha seemed to be dropping a little bit deeper and Mbeumo a little bit further forward.
Well, Cunha started as a striker, didn't he?
It was hard.
It was rotating with Mount.
It seemed to like spin around a bit. It was hard to tell. And then obviously Sesko coming. But you've got to feel like Sesko's not going to just sit on the bench every game. So I don't know. I feel like I would say spicy ting because they've got good fixtures as well. Like Brighton at home, Forest, depending on what happens with Dyche, if he settles them down quickly. Tottenham, we know Tottenham can see goals. So yeah, I'm not...
spicy ting for you.
I'm not against it. And if you're returning in Liverpool away, then why couldn't he carry on doing it? But it's just the team as a whole is a little bit... a little bit of a risk, I would say, still. There's zero consistency there. Probably the same reason I'm not going for Bowen.
Yeah.
Is the same reason I wouldn't go for Mbeumo.
He's like makes sense.
Strong player in a team that you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Mbeumo, spicy ting. Bruno, better if Penn, says Marcelo. Maggot says he's a very good player, but I've sold him for Saka. Best player on the pitch versus Liverpool for me. Mook, spicy mting. Says really? George.
Yeah, I didn't think he was the best player on the pitch. I thought he did well, but I thought Cunha's
easier on the eye. I feel like Mbeumo is more effective. I feel like he'll get more goals and assists for that team.
It was what Cunha was doing as well in terms of like winning the ball, holding it, his hold up play. Really, really good. Yeah.
He needs to be in the middle. Like, he needs to be one of the number 10s rather than the furthest man forward, I think. I think with
Sesko's
and Cunha
fit
in the 10 and then Cesco up front would be probably you need optimal.
Yeah, you need Cesco to like... So, do you not think it's strange when they talk about the fitness of these players and how they're... It's like, how fit do you need to get? You've been training full-time at another club. You've come here, like...
What? Who are they talking about?
Well, like, for example, Kolo Muani, he's been... Yeah. You know, he's saying, oh, he's still not... He's way off match fitness. It's like PSG and...
Well, he's only going to play... He's only going to get match fitness if he starts playing matches.
Yeah, but it's like, they don't give him 10 minutes... It's like... How unfit are you when you can't play?
Well, it was like the Isak thing, wasn't it? He's not had a pre-season and stuff. But he still wouldn't like training and like keeping himself in shape, surely. They don't like just
sit
on the sofa and watch Traitors all summer, do they? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a strange one.
Yeah, it's strange. Right, next player. D. Welbs. Getting all sorts of shouts like coming back to England at the moment. I don't know if you've heard all this.
Who from?
Third best striker in England,
his
they're saying.
Who said
nah,
that?
On the radio. Online.
What radio? TalkSport, yeah.
Oh, obviously TalkSport, yeah.
Yeah.
It weren't O'Hara, don't worry.
Got people ringing in.
But yeah, Danny Welbeck, 2 goals against Newcastle. That's 4 for the season. The other 2 goals were also scored in one other game, which was the Chelsea game. But he's not getting a lot of minutes at the moment. He's only played 90 minutes twice.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a concern.
Last 2 games. Well, 3 times. He did 89 minutes against Newcastle. So.
Yeah, but I'd say he's probably the main forward. The fixtures look okay as well. Man U away, Leeds at home, Palace away, Brentford at home, Forest away, 6.3 mil. People might be in that bargain, sort of mid-value striker market along with, you know, Thiago and players like that. So you don't seem convinced, Nick, but tell me why and where would you rank him?
Well, like...
Your mum's favourite number 9.
Like he last year he was 5.5, and if he was 5.5, I think okay, fair enough, take a bit of a chance on him. He's 6.5 this year. This is a guy, he's never ever, like, last year was his highest ever Premier League season scoring goals. He scored 10. He's managed double digits once in an entire career.
Yeah, it's mad,
for a striker.
Like, 34 now as well.
Fair play, he didn't, obviously fair few of those seasons he was sub for Arsenal or sub for Man United. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But he is not a player you should be considering to bring in. There's a lot of other options out there. Like, if you're going to go for Danny Welbeck, just go like super cheap. Get your man. He's probably going to come up in a second for a bit of a pump for a few weeks.
Yes, Mo.
If you've got 6.3 for Danny Welbeck, like, you might have 7 points something to get in a Mateta or Bowen or certainly a Voltomada. Like, this is not the guy. He's not going to... He's not.
Oh, no love for D-Wells.
No love for him. He's allow it for me.
All right, Cole. Allow it.
And he potentially... He's a lovely guy, but he's not... You know, he's scored in 2 games out of 8. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's only played 90 twice.
No, it's how many he started, isn't it?
Yeah, and how many he started? Well, he started no games. Oh, wait.
What are you talking about?
Oh, no, I'm telling a lie.
You're telling 1, 2, 3, 4. He started 5 games.
So 2 goals in 5 starts. Four goals in 5 starts. That's brilliant. Look at that conversion rate. Are you all right?
It's That's not incredible. For me.
What is that? That's like 85%, isn't it?
It's not.
What is that?
Not for
me. Is
that
80%?
Listen, in the world.
80% hit rate.
In the world of all these, as much as I hate them, in this world of these DEFCONs, right? This is not a guy you need to rely on. For 6.3, put that money elsewhere. Mm. Upgrade your 4.5 to Gabriel and be done with it. Do you all know
right.
what I mean?
All right. Allow it for D Welbs. Trash, says Marcelo. Damn. Wow, no love for D Welbs. Yeah. All right, well, maybe
Marcelo knows.
Maybe you'll enjoy this one, Marcelo. Man like Eli. Yeah. Right, Book of Eli.
Yeah.
Eli Kroupi.
That Kroupi.
Hey.
Junior as well.
4.5 mil. Started against Crystal Palace, bags 2 goals. Evan Nilsson's out injured, I believe, and is Unai
injured? He is. We just don't know how long.
So is he going to get a little run in the team? The fixtures, I mean, they're a bit mixed. I think after Villa away, which they could quite easily get something at Villa away, by the way. Bournemouth are a good side. So Forest at home, City away, Villa away, West Ham at home, Sunderland away.
Yeah.
That looks all right, doesn't it?
Talk
to me.
Fixtures can be mixed. With your 4.5 forward, fixtures can be mixed. Because then if you have got Man City away, no problem. You play another defender or you play another midfielder, stick him on the bench, not a problem. The issue is just around Evan Nilsson's fitness. If Evan Nilsson is definitely not going to play for the next month, absolutely take a punt on him.
You know, his goal record at his last team was an absolute joke.
Oh, I've been talking about this guy for years, mate.
Shut up.
I tell you.
Yeah, shut up. Next to me saying you were saying you were talking about Waltimada for years.
I am always on... What's his name? no, I've always been a big fan of him. But no, seriously. I do think he's got a real opportunity with him being out. I just don't know. You know when it's like... It wouldn't be massive shock if like Kluivert got pushed... Just occasionally, someone pops up in a different position saying, like, oh, they're going to give Kluivert a game up front or someone else random. So I do think if you've got a cheap forward, say you've got a spare transfer you're going to burn, because we've got 28 transfers every week this week, haven't we? And you're going to get another 20 when people go to AFCON. So you can always, like, get him in now. Now's about the right time to take a punt, if you are going to take a punt. Especially if you've got like Mark Gooey or someone like that. Get him gone. Get Kroupi in. Man like Ellie. And it's just the Evan Nilsson thing. I just want to hear a press conference where they say, yeah, he's going to be out for a good month. You know, he'll be back end of November. And I think that would be enough to go, yeah, why not take a punt. But it depends what you want to do. Because if you're getting rid of like Jokeres.
Yeah.
It's a massive downgrade, and if there's not many options that are tempting you in midfield, it feels like a bit of a too much of a downgrade.
All right, where are you going to rank him then? Magus is mild still.
I would say I think you've got to go calm until we've got more info.
Discomfort. Shout out, Kieran says, allow it. Why would you want to play 3 strikers? One game does not make a man.
Tell me what makes a man.
Beautiful voice. All right, that's it for the thermometer.
Volcanic ash from us.
Woo! Goddamn! That's hot! All right.
Wayne Kwan says, nice name, Ellie Kroupi Jr. Yeah. I'm bringing him in. How many points do I get for a nice name? That is what?
Eli Jr. Croupier. All right, let's do some Legends League. Yes, this is the Legends League, sponsored by our very good friend Signed Football Shirts. They sponsor our Manager of the Month competition, where every single month, whoever gets the most points in this league will take home a signed and framed football jersey of their choice, within reason. George Gavin in the chat, he has just locked in a Van Persie Holland signed and framed shirt.
We like that.
From the match where he scored that diving header.
We like that.
Beautiful kit. You too can join this league. It's free. It's not free. You have to
It's not from that match. It's from that era.
No, it's from that match. literally from that game.
He took it off.
Sweat and everything.
He gave it to Declan. He said, "You have that, mate."
Listen, this is. I've been saving this for you. You can still join the Legends League, even though the season's well underway. All you have to do is be a Juice Legend member on our YouTube channel. That's the $2.99 tier or above. And then the mini league code will appear on the post section of the YouTube channel where you can join the mini league. And yeah, like I say, if you scoop the most points within within that particular month, get your own, you get your prize. You get your hands on one of these bad boys. We're going to look at the overall and the manager of the month so far. So here's the manager of the month so far for October. We've got Andy Mack in 10, Nick of FPL Juice in 9.
Slipped down a little
bit. No chance. Rupert is in 8, semi-casual. Matt Reed in 7. Tom Reed, Matt's brother, in 6. Charlie Marshall in 5. David Cleary in 4. Niall Plume is in 3. Matt Forsland is in 2. And Kieran in the chat is currently leading the way.
The Reeds have different spellings of their surnames. So I'm not sure how true that
they're
is.
They're definitely related.
Okay.
And here's the overall. We've got Ndidi Kong Racing in 10. Hector is in 9. Fella in 8. Sonali in 7. Kieran's there again in 6. Matt's in 5. Charlie in 4th. George Gavin, winner of last year's Legends League, is in 3. John O'Shea in 2. And Matt Reed is top of the pops.
By 1 point. By 1 point overtakes John O'Shea this week.
Absolutely. Guys, do remember to follow Signed Football Shirts on the socials. They're on X. They're on Instagram. And they're always running giveaways and such. So do give them a follow. The link is in the video description.
Kieran got 104 points this week. What did you play a chip, Kieran? You must have done. 104 this week.
Ton plus, mate. Absolutely smashed it.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, I forgot to mention, if you would kindly like the stream, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, as well as becoming a Juice Legend member where you can join the Legends League, you can just become a Checkmark member. That's only 99p. And that gains you access to our members-only content, which we drop once a week. Do share the show on X. I've pinned it to the chat. And follow us on all socials. How about that?
Lovely stuff.
Lovely stuff. Right. It's time to get into a bit of this. Tell you what. I'm making good time today, you know. I'm keeping it moving
it's
today.
Professional. It's professional.
Right, this is Fessel, looking at some confessions. I've got a couple of, I've got one on-topic one.
Oh, there's two, I only saw one.
Well, there was one, but then I had to add a second.
Oh, okay.
Which wasn't a Fessel, but...
It's an FPL Fessel.
It's an FPL Fessel.
Oh, okay.
An FPSO.
Okay.
If you will. Yeah. So, the first one. Let's start with this one. Let's start with this one. So... we're coming up to that time of year. We've talked about this before. Let me read it out first. So I'm one of those people who gives kids toothbrushes and mini toothpaste when they come around trick-or-treating on Halloween. Looking forward to doing it again this year. Already stocked up. At least someone is looking after your kids' teeth. Now, first of all, have you ever come across anyone who gives out toothpaste and toothbrushes?
No.
On Halloween?
No.
Like, what sort of... I think I'm a Scrooge. But that...
No, that's more expensive.
That's next level. No, because you could just get cheap tooth. You can get, like, the little air... Like, a pack. You get, like,
what, they're cheaper than, like, Haribo?
Probably.
Like, crappy, like, Malwams. Like, a packet bag for, like, a tenner. You can get, like, 100 in there. Probably, there's like, no way if he's giving away toothbrush and toothpaste to every kid.
I mean, it's a bit strong, isn't it? Why would you do that?
It was crazy anyway. The way he's put at the bottom, at least someone is looking after your kids' teeth. As if like, what, I mean, it's one day a year that kids go mad. Well, obviously Easter and Christmas, I guess. But one day a year where kids are like going crazy over sweets or chocolate or whatever. Like it's not. And to be fair, like when the kids go trick or treating, it's not like they eat the whole lot in one night. It literally goes into a tub like that stays up on the cupboard, and that will last till like Christmas in itself.
Yeah.
It may be longer.
You're a responsible parent. There's some parents out there that might be like, yeah, just like, just knock yourself out, just smash through it.
Well, I mean, just, but it's insinuated they don't have it's like you giving them a toothbrush and toothpaste.
Doesn't mean they're going
to
use it.
Just adds to the toothbrush and toothpaste that's at home.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So I don't really.
It seems that like they've gone to a lot of effort to prove a point that's not really being proved.
That's a treat. I mean, that's a trick, isn't it? Mm. That's not a trick.
I mean, we've talked about Halloween quite a lot. And obviously my kids are like a bit more grown up now. Like my eldest is too grown up to really like do trick or treat. Although I think she's going to like some sort of Halloween party this year.
Oh, God.
But it's got to that age. With her mum.
But they start dressing up as cheerleaders and stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
it's dangerous.
Yeah. And then my stepdaughter is going to be like with her friends trick or like treating on her own.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like the first time where we're not there with the kids.
Yeah.
So then now we're like, what do we do? Do we have that awkward like position there where do we stay in and embrace it, buy some sweets, let the kids knock on the door? Oh, trick or treat. Oh yeah, you look
great. Why do you not
you look fantastic. Oh, here's some Haribo, here's some Maltesers, whatever. Or do we do what I want to do, which is turn all the lights off, pretend like we're not home, don't decorate, and just ride it out like it's the Purge?
No, you can't do that. Listen.
That's what I want to do.
Because I'm not going this year. We normally go, what we normally do, we take the kids trick-or-treating, but on the doorstep, we'll leave like a big
the bowl. Bucket. You do the bowl.
Well, if we're out. Man. Yeah, but if you're out, what else are you going to do?
But how could, we've talked about this. How can you police that? Because the first kid
it's not.
Could just take the whole bowl.
I don't live in Luton. I don't live in Luton, so that isn't happening.
It's irrelevant.
It isn't irrelevant because
dickheads everywhere.
When I get back home.
Bro, look at the Conservative Party. There's dickheads everywhere.
Yeah, but
look
I don't
your
live
party,
in
Reform.
I don't
dickheads
live in
everywhere. And they're in nice areas.
I don't live in Clacton. When I go to trick or treat.
Wait, what? You go trick or treating?
So you do the rounds and then you get back. There's still sweets there every time, so it's not like if people take a few extras.
Who's doing the sound effects?
This Ariella's gone crazy on the soundboard. So this year Luca's having his operation, isn't he? So he can't go. He's gonna be in.
If he had crutches, he would get bare sweets.
Well, I don't give
he
you
would
more.
Clean up.
But anyway, I tend to, I don't know about, I will only go to a house that's either decorated, or not even decorated, but like, you know, if they put a pumpkin outside, that's like, oh, they don't mind you coming to the door. So only go to those houses, or like friends that we know, do you know what I mean, that you live near. So, and that's the thing, everyone that's knocked on our doors, I'll put on like some like spooky lights, and then I whack the music, like put on like a Halloween playlist.
Yeah.
Turn it out full of like Thriller. Like
what sort
full
of
blast.
Thriller?
Thriller, yeah. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
What's the other one? I feel like somebody's watching me. You know that song? I wanna feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
All the ones, you know.
Yeah, so you embrace it fully then?
Well, I hate Halloween, but I feel like it's for the kids. So when they come, I just smile. Oh, I love your costume. Here's some
sweets. You lie.
But when I see, if I get an old one, sometimes I will go like, if a kid comes just like wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah.
You don't say nah.
Yeah, I do.
You don't say nah.
That's great. I said that.
Is it?
I've said before, like,
but if you've put a bowl out.
I said,
out,
like, you're too old to do this.
If you've put a bowl out for him. Oh, so you're only doing this
if
you're
in,
there.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, I leave it out when we take the kid and when we come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Because our kids, obviously.
All right, so I'm the kid with the hood on.
Yeah. I'll say exactly what I've said to you.
Trick or treat.
What? You're a bit old for this, mate.
I'm 12.
Why aren't you dressed up?
Because I was told I don't need to dress up.
Who by?
Mum.
Your mum's a dick. Come back next year. Boof. Yeah.
Oh, your dad made a ticket. I'll come back, mum. I'm going to egg your house.
Nah, I just think you can't ask for sweets if you're not dressing up. Trick or treat. Got to make the effort. If you're
right,
not making
so,
it.
Okay.
Don't switch.
All right. So say a bunch of like three little girls. And mums are at the back. They knock on the door. They've gone to no effort. Yeah. They don't look. They've not bought an outfit.
But why's the mum walking around?
They've just got a bin bag.
So essentially, they're begging.
No, they're trick or treating.
No, they're
they've got
begging.
A bin bag and a witch's hat on. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. It's still costume.
It's a one hat attempt. Let's
that's
call
fine.
It. That's
I'm not the judge.
So what do you say when they knock on the door trick or treat? What are you saying?
What if they're wearing a bin bag?
Yeah, and a witch's hat.
So are you meant to be Missy Elliott from the Rain video? No, I would just, I'd say, listen, if you've got some, at least some token gesture towards Halloween, I'm not that petty where I'm going to be like, oh, your costume's not very good. You're not getting any swing. I'd be like, oh, good to see you. Like, have a good night. Send you off.
Would you lie to him?
But if you just don't have anything.
Would you say, oh, your costume's
I love
really
your
good.
Bin bag. Yeah. Oh, my God. And you've got a toy. Is that a toilet roll on your head? Like a hat, but not a hat. Yeah, that looks great. Well done. Well done, Mum. Good job.
Love it.
There's anyone that makes a little bit of an effort, they get sweets. But I'm not having just random teenagers that are hungry turning up and like begging on your doorstep. Like,
I don't even want to see my own kids dressing up, let alone someone else's kids wearing costumes and stuff. I made a kid cry once on Halloween a couple of years ago.
Why?
Well, they
is this, you sure you want to say this?
Yeah, no, it's fine. Okay. They knocked on the door, and like I was wearing like a scary mask, like a wolf type mask thing, and like I've opened the door, but I've not opened it so that they can see me. I've opened it like really slowly, so it looks like it's opened on its own.
And you weren't wearing a dressing gown, and they burst out.
So I've opened it really slowly.
Mummy, there's a horrible snake at the door.
It's a massive snake.
There's a worm.
Massive girthy snake. Yeah. No, but the kid's like open. All he can see is the door opening really slowly and no one's there. And it's
How
just
old
dark inside.
How old was the kid?
I don't know, like 7.
Okay.
6.
Right.
And then like, I've like tiptoed. So I'm at the top of the door and I've put my wolf mask around. And I've gone, rawr, and he's gone, rawr, and then ran to his mum.
What did the mum say?
Mum was creasing. She thought it was hilarious.
Was this Luton again?
He was crying his eyes out. No, this is in Hearts, mate. That's how we do. But yeah, I will be definitely turning off all the lights this year. No pumpkins outside my house. Do not come and knock at the door.
Discomfort. I love this. I grew up in a cul-de-sac and could only trick or treat on their doors. My parents would go to the neighbours first, give them the sweets to give when we knocked. They hated the idea of begging. That's a real like paranoid approach to that, Kieran. Oh dear. I like it though. Was it the postman making a late delivery?
Evening, Paul.
Mummy, why is that worm dressed like a pharaoh?
To be fair, that's a good tactic, says fella. They won't knock again the following year. This is in regards to the toothpaste. Handing out toothpaste leading to cleaning egg off your window, surely. Toothpaste is way more expensive than sweets, says George. All right. That was fest hole number one. This is more like an FPS hole. FPLS hole. So this has been doing the rounds today. And this isn't our usual festival, but we had to talk about it, all right? Now, yeah, Johnny posted on his Instagram story this, and then obviously tweeted it afterwards.
Yeah.
And it reads like this. It says, "Hi, at Power League UK, in brackets, Monday at Uppingham. If you call someone an Italian beep, you're asking for a reaction, one in which I'm not proud of. The red card was fair, but if his ban isn't substantial, I won't go away. Do the right thing."
He's the Nottingham Forest of Power League.
And then Pingreen's like, did you slap him up? Johnny, like, no comment. And then this random account called Jake, who's not tweeted since about 1972.
Shout out, Jake.
Says, allow me, you stamped on his foot. He verbally reacted. Then you put a 17-year-old in a headlock and offered him out for a fight in the car park. Do the right thing.
Hmm.
So, first of all, what did you make of this when you saw this?
Cause it's gone from this. Jake, first of all, it's just a faceless account, right? Yeah. This isn't
someone, zero substantiated.
Gianni's got a lot of people that like to troll him on Twitter. Mm. So there's no substantiation. You're exactly right, and it's just a faceless account. If they have like some sort of profile or history, you think, oh right, if someone was there. Like, if I was there and that happened, I would be like, yeah, like, you did this. It wouldn't be my hiding behind, like, a faceless account. But anyway, that isn't the case anyway. We know it's not the case. So, the thing is, Gianni, I love you, man, but to tweet Power League is some move. But that's like Forrest. You know when Forrest get, like, a VAR decision and they write to PGOML?
Yeah.
But public as well. I don't like this. That sort of behaviour does need stamping out.
Mm. So,
but I don't know if tweeting him was the thing. You'd probably just email him and say, like,
yeah, like,
guys, what's going
obviously
on?
Obviously, I love Johnny. We love Johnny. But why would you make this? Why would you tweet this out?
But then the thing is, that all the trolls and the liars on Twitter that we get, and there's some proper freaks out there. Well, the rumor turned into he assaulted a child.
A kid. Yeah,
so it made it sound like it was some, you know, yeah. it might have been slightly younger than him, but it weren't even a 17-year-old, let alone a. So we know it's not going to be like. The people were on the app were talking like it was a 10-year-old that had like come onto the pitch to like say hi to his dad and Jay like dropped him or something. It's like, what are you talking about? And then you get all the
like this Jake who like has got no evidence of any like ex history at all can come and say this.
Or doesn't
people
even tweet.
Read it and then just run with it. And then it becomes something that is completely not.
What I would like to think is that people who are running with it are joke like doing it as
no,
a
but
joke
not.
But I think there's
they're
a couple
serious.
Of I think there's a couple of people that genuinely like
100
think it's real because they don't come out from the basement
they haven't their 4-day old boxer shorts
they haven't smelled the sweet fresh air that they genuinely believe that online is real. So if someone says something, it's like I'd love to meet these people who believe this sort of stuff in real life, because I could sell them some. I could make a fortune. I've got some magic beans, mate. Do you want to buy them?
It's but worth it, saying as well. There was an update on this.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah,
from Power League.
A reply
themselves.
From Power League. Well, to be fair, he's got the result he wanted. Then,
yeah. So John, it's like retrospective punishment, isn't it?
I like VAR, yeah.
So after a full review of the incident during last night's game, we can confirm that the player Gianni will receive a one-match ban for his reaction during the altercation. We also confirm that the player from the opposing team has been issued with a two-match ban due to the abusive language directed toward one of the players. Do you think that's a fair result?
Well, I think if someone's been... Thing is... Right, it's that whole debate. We've had this debate before, didn't we? Like a long one about like what is acceptable, what you can and can't say on a football pitch.
Mm.
Now, if you call someone an Italian, you know what, that is, you're bringing race into it unnecessarily, right?
It's racist. But, let's just call it what it is.
It is, but there's this whole like punching up. Italian's not really been used as like an insult. Do you know what I mean?
No, but it forms the core of the insult.
That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring it up to like antagonism. So what I'm saying, if someone said, I'm not going to say like you black, because then that isn't right. That's a different thing. But if someone said, oh, you Indian, then you would like arbitrate that is more offensive. Does that make sense? Because people have used that historically as an attack and as a slur.
But they might have also used it.
I'm not saying that
as well
okay.
in Italy.
Well, not
so how you feel about someone calling you that?
They don't go around in Italy calling each other.
No, not from Italians, you idiot. But how you feel if someone called you that would be the same as how I'd feel if someone called me the equivalent, which is probably the same as how old Gianni felt when someone called him that.
Well, someone's just using something.
And I know the last time someone called me that, they ended up getting punched in the face.
Yeah, that's fair. But that's what I'm saying. But people typically have used certain countries as insults. This is probably part of a broader discussion. But people typically, historically, have used certain countries as insults and other countries haven't been because of associated things. So, but I get that it is racist if we break it, because you can't have, oh, that's all right and that's not right. So it is a racist. So I think like instigating it by being racist and the reaction, I don't know what the reaction was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he's just grabbed him.
No.
If he's just grabbed him and there's been a bit like pushing and shoving, then I think like fair enough. The racism is worse than that.
Yeah.
If he's like, he obviously hasn't.
Yeah.
Because the Power League wouldn't have gone. But if it had been like, it proper like put him on foot and, you know, Yossi Benayoun did, like Hartson kicked him in the head and like, then you think like, no, it's a bit, For me personally, I think Word, you just got to try, and it's hard, but it happens in football all the time. But you've got to just like let the referee, I guess.
Yeah, but the referee's probably some like 15-year-old kid who don't know how to handle people.
Maybe it was him who got put in a headlock.
Yeah, maybe.
No, but I do.
He's got both. He's got the player in one headlock. He's got the ref in another. He's just like, what?
Yeah.
Knocking their heads together. Fella says, I'm absolutely livid Johnny's done this. I've got that guy in my fantasy power league team. Gonna have to take a hit this week. There we go. No children were hurt in the making of this.
Well, no children would have been on the football pitch in the first place, because what, like, that should be your first thing, wouldn't it? Why would Gianni be playing in an under 16s fantasy
He's
league
big man.
In a power league with 10-year-olds? It's just, yeah, the whole thing's stupid, but it shows up a lot about Twitter. But yeah, I think really fair enough. I understand it. He said, "Nah, you're wrong, I think, Nick. I think it's all on the same level. Using X uncontrollable race has the same intent." Regardless of what race it is. Yeah, I do.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
No, I get it.
What do you mean? That's the only answer. That's the only right answer here. Anything else is your race. You're as bad as the guy.
What
you're racist.
Are you talking about?
You're a racist guy.
No.
Was it you?
It was me.
Did Charlie put you in the headlock?
Yeah, because I look so young. I thought I was a kid. No, I understand. There's another
layer
argument around it. But I get both sides for sure. Mm. For sure. I'm not saying either one is good.
All right. That was it for Fessel. Let's do a little Tuesday Sociale. So I did have two lined up for us. One was slot, but I think I'm just going to get straight into the unpopular opinions, because we've had quite a lot of response on X for this one. So I tweeted out from the Juice account asking you guys for your most unpopular FPL opinions. I'm sure, Nick, you got one or two yourself, but I wanted to read them through.
I was just going to talk about other people's, because they covered pretty much most of mine.
I'm going to read through as many as I can, and I'd like you to just maybe give your thoughts on it, and then just bell or buzzer if you agree or disagree with the unpopular opinion. And guys in the chat, do pop yours in as well if you've not responded to the tweet. So first one from Matt Francis says, his unpopular opinion is, EO is meaningless. Differential is just a hipster pick with no basis in fact. XG and other underlying stats have zero effect on future events. It's not like FIFA/FM, where the stat is used by the game engine to simulate the outcome. EO meaningless?
Hold on, let's start one by one, because there's a lot to unpack there.
EO is meaningless.
Well, it's meaningless depending on how you... It's meaningless in terms of how many points you'll score in the game week, but it's relevant for... And I hate EO. I always try and go against it, really. But in terms of how your rank change is entirely based around EO, right? Because if you captain Haaland, you and he hauls, you'll go up, like, maybe depending on what else happens, you might gain, you know, a small green arrow.
Yeah.
If you captain Mateta, and let's say Haaland had blanked, you will jump up huge. You could half your rank like overnight. So it's not meaningless, but it's meaningless in terms of the decision making. You should always just pick the player you think's going to do the best.
Yeah, that's not how the game works.
Typically, EO, the players that do best will have a high EO because they've already been selected. So it's a tricky one. But I understand what you're saying.
All right, we'll go with that one then. So what are you saying? You agree?
Let's
go with the EO one on that one.
No, I don't think that's a good take.
No? Buzzer then. Well, you never press these things anymore. All right, next one. Klopp's Mug says, unpopular FPL opinion. Defcons are not worth chasing over defenders with goal threat. You like that take?
I love that one. You know I'd like that one.
Yeah,
I'm not bothered about
Defcon. I tend to agree as well.
And also, Defcon's been a little bit of a crazy thing the early part of the season. Tom Hadley, who does a lot of Defcon work on Twitter, I'm sure people know, works for Scout. He posted, I think it was a stat the other day, that rerunning the first eight game weeks last year, Defcons are up as a total 40% higher than what they were this time last year for the same fixtures, which is a mad stat like Optostats.
Defcons are up 40%
more. Obviously, they weren't accounted for in the game last season.
Yeah.
But in terms of the number of tackles, blocks, interceptions, blah, blah, blah.
Is that because there's been a change in football style? Because they're launching throw-ins every 5 seconds now.
Don't know. Just,
going
just
more direct.
Just how it's been. But there's been... so it's up 40%, which has swayed it. I'm hoping things level out because for me, like my defenders in my team are there for like... Munoz, like Timber. They're there because I want my attacking players to be right up there. Like, I don't really want the likes of Tarkowski. I know he can get the odd goal, but people wouldn't know, like, oh, get Tarkowski. You know, kill I want Munoz. Munoz versus, like, Richards. When everyone's going, oh, get Richards. Could you?
Yeah.
You know, Gay, to be fair, has like, had unbelievable attacking threat this start of the season.
He's been quite lucky, I think.
But that's not his normal game. Like, the Munoz... yield should be much higher because of his where he finds himself on the pitch 9 times out of 10.
No. Llama inside FPL, he echoes Stevo's. I think they've both done this one. His unpopular FPL opinion is hits are a sin.
What he's saying they are or they're
hits
not?
Hits are a sin. Yeah. As in shouldn't hit.
Shouldn't do them. No, you know me.
Hits are
I'm
bad.
Brett. I'm Brett the Hitman. The Hitman heart.
Yeah.
I love a hit. It adds excitement. The only good thing about the game is the transfers. Once you've set your team
up. Yeah, but you've got 5 free ones now. You can bank. So you don't even really need to take hits anymore.
Yeah, but sometimes you just see a fixture. Ultimately, as soon as that player, unless you're going to want to buy him back in a couple of weeks, as soon as that player returns more than 6 points in that game week, you're up. Provided the other one that you played didn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you can cover the hit and the other players score, happy days.
It makes sense. Yeah.
If you're bringing in a like it's a -4 to bring in a Leeds 4.5 defender is crazy. A 4.5 to bring in Saka and to captain him because you feel like he's got a good game and his fixtures have now turned, or you bring in
or a hit to bring in Mateta this week. For
Like of course that works. So for me, hits are part of the game, and there's people. With very, very high ranks that regularly take hits. You need to be a little bit patient, but patience with the wrong player can kill your season.
All right. So you don't agree with that one?
I don't agree with that.
All right. FPL D Unit, his unpopular FPL opinion is this.
Shout out D Unit, first of all. He's got his podcast.
Yeah.
I've seen a few clips of it now. Really, really good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have a look.
Australian guy. Shame, because if he lived here, I'd be trying to...
Try and get him on. All right.
But yeah, he's been doing a lot with Gary and Nightmare.
Oh, yeah, I've seen. Yeah. He says, the game's boring without the excitement of a mystery chip or the AM chip in general, plus games getting left behind by other games that use manual subs and captaincy. So he thinks the game's boring without the excitement of a mystery chip or the assistant manager chip. Do you agree with that take?
I don't want a mystery chip. Because I feel like, I feel like before the game starts, you should have all the knowledge of what's involved for the whole season.
It's like when you play Monopoly, you got to know the rules.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If someone suddenly says, "Oh, if you're still in after half an hour, we'll give you an extra grand." No, it's a bit like when you play football. Like again. Assistant manager chip, Reedy's put there, didn't love an assistant manager chip. I liked it. I don't mind it. I just think they should just set it at the start of the season. There's going to be an assistant. So if you're going to have it. If you're not, you're not, right? I agree. Maybe that could have been a way around rather than giving us double chips of everything.
Because you could have planned for it.
Because you can plan.
Part of the fun's in the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's a mystery chip, it kind of feels like when you play football for an hour and then someone goes, next goal wins. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, we've played a certain way. It's all irrelevant.
So
like,
we've just been playing the rules.
Yeah,
what is it? Out, and then all of a sudden the rules go out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that the way they've done it this year, I prefer to last year's surprise assistant manager chip, although it did work out for me. That said, if they'd have put in assistant manager this year, but told us ahead of time so you can plan for the 3 game weeks, I would have been happy with assistant manager this year. But last year, I think it was a bit of a mess.
All right. Imagine if they didn't announce AFCON transfers until the week before. Yeah, that would be like spanner in the works, wouldn't it? Delia Her unpopular FPL opinion is this. The more time you stay away from Twitter, the better you are at FPL.
Depends who you follow, I would say.
Well,
there's some really good information.
Most engaged FPL managers are going to be following FPL content creators and other FPL engaged managers. So
yeah,
you work on that basis where people are sharing opinions and stats and threads and all sorts of things that are going to clog and gauge your way of thinking.
I think you can have too much noise. But sometimes you get a real gem. You get to see what players are doing and see. I haven't got the time to do all this research to, like, you know, get into real in-depth of everything, DEFCONs and all that sort of stuff. So I find it handy when someone puts a great thread on Twitter. I love to read that.
Yeah.
Marcelo is in the chat. He's done a few himself, if I'm not mistaken, that I've really enjoyed looking through. That being said, it can be negative because last week people would have you believe that Dominic Calvert-Lewin is a good is a good pick. And I'm literally watching.
Where did that even come from? That was mad, weren't it?
I mean, he scored a goal, right? I guess so.
No, he didn't.
Did he not previously?
They lost 2-0. Oh, what,
no,
before?
Not this week. Yeah. So I'm saying that's where it come from. It's just like, oh, he's cheap. Oh, he's got half decent. But looking at it, there was nothing about it that made sense. It's a bit like the Welbeck, like, even obviously a lot worse, but like you mentioned Welbeck earlier, I just can't see the appeal. Like, we know where he is. Like, in terms of, if you watch football, that is one of my most things. A lot of people are so, like, analytics now, and they barely watch a game. I love to watch a game. If I get the opportunity to sit there and watch the whole of
full game,
90 minutes of the game, I can pick up so much more, and that will influence my decisions a lot more than something I might read or hear on another show or podcast or whatever. So, yeah, sometimes you're looking for confirmation bias, I guess.
Yeah. All right. FPL reports, unpopular FPL opinion. They should remove chips from the game entirely.
I hate captaincy. That would probably be my...
No, that's not a chip, though.
Sorry, yeah, I suppose so.
That's just captaincy. Chips, so like wild card, free hit, get rid of them all. Because that's something... Although I said that I do like the AM chip because we have to have chips... I would prefer it if it was like classic. Like back in the day when you played Sun Dream Team,
yeah,
there was no chips. You just picked the best like 11 and then away you go. I quite like the idea of removing the chips.
I would.
And it being like a proper marathon where there's no I would like bonus. That there's no.
I would like that because it simplifies it a bit.
It does.
And there can be big swings on like one player.
Yeah.
Which again is a bit like that. Next goal wins.
Yeah.
Because like triple captain Haaland and someone gets it right. You know, and I get that's all part of the game for sure. You're still predicting. You're predicting to the next level when you pick a triple captain. But it does keep people going. I like Fella's idea there. No chips and you get your 37 transfers at the start of the season. So you can literally save. You can use them all at one time. Well, not 37, but you can save up. Use five, wait a bit, then do 10 weeks later.
That's a really
good
idea.
Or you can stagger them, just do one a week strictly.
I like that a lot.
Would you still have hits though?
You know me, I don't like hits. I think hits is cheating.
Well, it's not, because you suffer a minus effect.
Yeah, but it's still cheating.
Well, it's only cheating if you can't do it. If you can do it, you choose not to, because that's not your strategy.
Yeah, but it's not playing the game in the spirit of the game.
There is no spirit of the game.
This is what I mean.
Have you
there
seen
should
the people,
be a spirit of the game.
Have you
the
seen
game?
The people that play this game?
Huh?
There is no spirit.
It should be. It needs to be played in the right in the right spirit. All right. So you're saying... So you like that take? You like that unpopular opinion?
Yes, I do, actually.
Cool. Okay. Kieran's got one in. Kieran's been active in the chat tonight. Shout out, Kieran. He says, his unpopular FPL opinion is, you don't need to spend your budget. The obsession with doing so leads to buying the expensive toy over better options just because I can afford them.
I agree with that.
You agree with that one?
And I'm guilty. I'm so guilty of that.
You just want to spend everything, don't you?
If I've got like 10 million left, I'm automatically considering like, oh, maybe Foden. Maybe. Do you know what I mean? Instead of being like, oh, Grealish is absolutely tearing up. Should get him. It feels like, oh, maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
And then sometimes that'll tempt me into a -4. Because if I do decide to go for the better player, I'll be like, oh, but now I've got that 4 million defender.
Yeah.
I could suddenly make him like Kirkes or something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that can really tempt you in. So I do.
And I understand that way of thinking because that's the way they price. They price the better players at the more expensive money. So you think you're getting the better player. But they might not be at that moment in time the better player. Like Foden. Like Foden's a really good example.
Yeah. Anthony at Burnley, at the start of the season. Yeah. You'd
rather have like a Grealish at the moment or an Ndiaye.
Mm, yeah, Ndiaye.
Over a Foden at the moment who's done nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, really good take that one. I'll do a couple more. FPL veteran.
Some in the chat as well. You can whiz through.
FPL veteran says, his unpopular FPL opinion is, how many managers don't use AI or models? FPL has become a data game now for the majority. Does anyone even watch games anymore? Sad face.
Well, that is an unpopular... There are a lot of people that feel they have a real analytics community and they will say that. To the point where one of them won a few years ago and they were like, yes, one of us won it. It's like, you're not a team. It's just you lost. Do you know what I mean? But I think a lot of people, especially on FPL Twitter, don't watch any football. Because
I do.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, there's a lot that do, but I do think there's some that you can tell, I don't think they even enjoy watching football. I think they just enjoy...
That's extracting
data.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, but I think you can play the game well not watching it.
But why would you want to do that though? Why would you want to play a football game and not watch football? Like, it's based on real life.
I think
football.
They might watch like the odd match of the day or something like that, but I don't think they're watching games like as fat. There's a lot
that's
of people.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, but
anyone
I think
in the
a
chat
lot.
That does that, please just let us know so I can speak to you properly.
Hmm.
We can touch.
But
some,
I do
just,
love
like, touch some grass or something.
Yeah, I do. I personally, I've never been on FPL review in my life. And I don't like the suggested pick. Like, that takes it all out of it.
Mm. All right. Next one we've got is from Harv Play Dirty. He says his unpopular FPL opinion is that when you reach the age 30, you realise it's shit. Now, you can't like that take because...
I've been playing
it for 30, and you're still playing it.
30 years.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that's so. I think I've enjoyed it more. Mm. As an average, I've enjoyed it more in the last 10 years than I did the previous 10 years because I've been more into it.
Mm.
So yeah, I wouldn't say that. Even when it depends, like what you think. For me, I don't take it that serious. So if I'm having a bad season, I'm just not going to ruin my life.
Mm.
Move on.
All right. Last one I'll do, and then I'll go for a couple on the chat. Daniel, FPL Daniel says, FPL, unpopular opinion is, FPL has skyrocketed over the years. FPL has skyrocketed over the years, my general knowledge of Premier League, but it's also killed my enjoyment of watching football. Rather than focusing on the beauty of the game, I focus on whether a defender of a newly promoted team rotates well with another random player. That's a good take, to be fair.
Yeah, it's true. It does spoil the game.
I don't think it's killed my enjoyment. I still love watching football. It does sometimes leave a little bit of a bitter taste after a game.
It's hard to watch because you're like, every game throughout the whole weekend, you've got a little bit of like involvement in.
Mm.
So sometimes when you're watching, like last night, I didn't have any West Ham or Brentford players involved. And I was like watching the game, just like wanting nothing to happen. Whereas or like a terrible 1-1, do you know what I mean?
Two
goalies score or something. Yeah. Like,
packets are blank.
But instead you're watching the whole game like, God, please don't score, please don't score. Yeah. Whereas really, if you're a neutral of a game, you just be like, I hope it's like 5-all.
It's true.
So yeah, does change things.
Andy Kens in the chat, he's said, dynamic deadlines are more unpopular than they should be for engaged FPL players.
Mm.
Does he mean like the change in the deadline every...
Yeah, make transfers and change captaincy before, like you can in World Cup and League and all that. I don't like it. I think there'd just be a lot more people would forget to change the and I think as well the teams have become more template.
Yeah.
Because before the match starts, before the game week starts, you could take a punt and everyone would be like, I'm gonna go with him because he plays so I can always change it. So then if you've got Haaland last and Semenyo's first, everyone would just go, yeah, I'll just get on Semenyo. And then you feel like if you went a bit differential, you'd be gutted if he got a brace.
Yeah.
And then everyone would be like, oh, I'll stick on Semenyo now. Rather than have the balls to just go him over Haaland, even though they're not playing at the same time.
I also think like the fun is in the simplicity. When you start adding too many bells and whistles to it, you start having too much to think about and then you cease to enjoy it as much. I know that I definitely enjoyed playing, like what got me into fantasy football was the Sun. And it was, here's your budget, here's your list of players, pick the ones that go in. It's like a little puzzle, isn't it? And then you watch them play.
Yeah, yeah.
You start adding this deadline, change captain, do this, do that, add chips, transfers. It's just a bit, I think it's too much. I think you can overcomplicate it a little bit more. So, yeah, I'd say I agree with that take. Who else put one in? Lord of Fishers is 600 in the world and doesn't watch football or use data. Connor. Wow.
Stuart B62. I'm in my 60s and enjoy it. Yeah. Yeah. Fair play, man. Hope I'm still there. I'll be there in 10 years, mate. Don't you worry. Steve Sedman said, yeah, we all watch FPL, but it does detract from your enjoyment watching it.
Is that Eddie Casey asking for some actual FPL advice?
Reedy, oh, we'll go to that in a sec. Reedy says, free Fess. I cancelled my Sky last season because I've got an illegal Fire Stick. No, it doesn't. Says, I haven't been able to watch a game this season. I'm doing all right.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Interesting. Have you not watched a game? Even like to go to the pub and watch one. That's interesting. But yeah.
Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could, like, knowing that you love football so much, you could go a season where you don't watch
nothing.
You could watch Match of the Day.
All right.
But not watch a full 90.
I think I could do it. I mean, I hate it, but I could do it. If I could watch Match of the Day,
I don't think I could.
But I would be gutted. So much of our luck now revolves around watching the football at the weekend, especially like with Luca being so into football, he wants to watch all the games and Kate likes it as well. So it's kind of like a nice family thing where we will sit down and watch it. But
We don't really do this here, Eddie, but you know, because you're new, I've not seen you here before, we'll ask you a question. I want to get rid of Foden and got 2 free transfers, 0 in the bank. Who would you get? I don't like Gyökeres or João Pedro.
That's a tricky one because obviously Foden in midfield, so I'm assuming.
So he wants to do.
So you want to get 2 transfers. Well, earlier in the. I'm trying to think. From thermometer, your steady thermometer, Ash. From what we said earlier, I don't know who else you got, but I think Mateta after this week is definitely one if you don't have him already. I've got Gyökeres and I may well do that move. If you want to get rid of Foden, I presume he's talking about to free up some cash to get a good striker. I think you're literally on Mateta, Valtamada or Haaland. That is the 3 if you don't like Gyökeres. That is the 3. So whichever one of those you haven't got, I presume you've already got Haaland. So either Valtamada or Mateta.
I agree.
And then you've just got to think for your midfield.
Depending on your price.
Again, Ajayi looks good.
I like Mbeumo. I like Mbeumo.
Yeah, Mbeumo. Yeah, we spoke about him as well.
Ajayi's good as well. Gakpo seems to be scoring, even though Liverpool haven't been performing well. Gakpo seems to be very dangerous at 7.5.
Yeah. I mean, I've got Saar, who I love for Crystal Palace. But again, they've got Arsenal. So it's like, if you're going to, I wouldn't bring in double Palace to play Arsenal this week. I feel like that's a bit of a risk. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for all your entries, for your unpopular FPL opinions. Really, really appreciate you getting involved in that one for us. That's it for tonight's show.
Drop a little subscribe, though. And we got a members bit coming up.
Yeah, we're going to record a little members bit where we're going to talk about should parents be allowed to be vocal towards their children in grassroots matches, something which obviously both of us have been part of. You're from still a coaching standpoint, me from a parent standpoint, you as well from a parent standpoint. So that'd be an interesting one. Guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Really, really appreciate you jumping on. Don't forget, before you go, like the stream, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Do become a member. It's only 99p and you get access to that members only content that we're just talking about. And you can still join the Juice Legends League. It's only the $2.99 tier or above, and you can join and win those prizes every single month. When we jump off, leave a comment. Let us know your most unpopular FPL take in the comments, and that'll do some wonders for the algo, we hope. Do follow us on all the socials. And join us next week where we've got your son, Luca.
Oh, yeah. As long as his operation goes to plan.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
If he's in too much pain, I might be struggling. But yeah, hopefully I'll wheel him in.
Yeah. Get the sympathy vote. Return. We might get a few extra viewers.
Kids versus are you smarter than a 8-year-old version of FPL.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy the Champions League. And we'll see you on the next one.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye, Felicia.